Moncrief on News Talk.
It is time for So You Think You're an Adult. Barbara Scully and former Guinness employee Declan Buckley join us in the studio once more.
I know, stop!
Telling people my backstory. That was off air.
Oh, sorry.
I did say I was a temp. I didn't say I was an employee. I said I worked there as a temp for a short amount of time back in the day.
Were you in the office like temping?
Oh, you weren't like
typing.
You weren't
how women normally work.
You weren't hauling barrels around the place.
No, but I was telling the men where to haul the barrels.
Okay, well that's good. And did you get free Guinness or did you want it?
Well, at lunchtime they used to hand out, like, you'd go to collect your two bottles or two cans, or maybe it wasn't that many, but that's how many I took.
No, because I years ago somebody I knew who was kind of working in there temporarily as a plumber or something, and got
it was delicious.
It was really nice,
and they had, like, you know, they had a great, the staff were treated really well, and they had a lovely setup, and so it was a nice place to work if that was the kind of work that you wanted to do,
which wasn't for you.
The kind of work I prefer to do.
Okay, fine.
Well, you don't get any perks. I'm taking away nothing with me when I leave the building except some really valuable insights
pearls
from you,
wisdom.
Barbara.
Pearls of wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see what you get from this.
Okay. Good luck, Barbara.
I'm currently facing a lot of turmoil after an explosive argument with my parents about my career choices. I'm 26 and I've recently decided to leave my stable office job in a big multinational firm to pursue a career in freelance writing and content creation. Hey. I'm on the parent side already. I've always had a passion for writing, but my parents have always been very practical, encouraged me to go into something secure like finance or law. Over the years, I've tried to explain my desire to be creative and independent, but they never really understood. Now I've finally made the leap to quit my job and follow my passion. But they're furious. During our last conversation, my mother started crying and told me I was throwing my future away. My father became visibly angry, calling me irresponsible and accusing me of not thinking things through. He even went as far as to say that I would fail and regret this decision and that I was throwing away all of the opportunities they had worked hard to give me. I haven't spoken to them since that day. I know they love me and only want the best for me, but I can't help feeling suffocated by their expectations. I want to continue pursuing my dreams, but I also don't want to lose my relationship with my parents. How can I make amends and heal the rift while still standing firm in my decision to take this career path? Any advice?
This is interesting. And it's such a shame because I know, obviously, well, I'm assuming that the woman who wrote to us, that her parents are coming from a place of love and, you know, worry and caring about their daughter. But she is 26. I have to wonder if she's an only child or is she the eldest? Because one of the lessons that you have to learn as a parent, and it's a hard lesson to learn, is that of once your children become adults, is taking a step back and letting them go ahead and lead their own lives and hoping that whatever parenting you did when they were younger will stand to them as they make decisions and forge their path in the world. And, you know, all of our kids will make mistakes at one stage or another. And again, part of the deal of being a parent is you got to shut up and you got to just be there to pick up the pieces if the pieces fall down and give support. But we've no right as parents, I don't think, to try and force our will or our vision as to what a successful life in inverted commas looks like onto our adult children. And I think, you know, in this particular instance, the parents seem to be being particularly harsh. I don't like where she said that they said that she was throwing away all the opportunities that they had worked so hard to give her. Our children owe us nothing. I mean, you know, we all work hard to give our children whatever opportunities, education, whatever else that we feel is right to give them. But they don't owe us anything back. So in this case, this woman has decided that the big multinational job, which probably comes with a good salary and a pension and free VHI cover and God only knows what else.
Sweet.
that she's going to walk away from all that to pursue freelance writing and content creation. But I'm a firm believer that you should follow your dreams. You should do whatever it is that makes you happy. And if this is what she wants to do, she will regret not having done it far more than she might regret having done it if it doesn't work out. And that's not to say it won't work out. There's every reasonable possibility that it may work out. As I say, she's 26. She's plenty of time. How she repairs the rift with her parents, I think let everything calm down for a bit. let the parents cool off. And then obviously, you know, you need to talk to them and you need to push back against some of this, understanding that they have her best interests at heart, but also reminding them that I think all of us as parents just want our kids to be happy. And if you can kind of illustrate to them and explain to them that this is what is going to make you happy in a way that the job in the multinational with the big money and the pension and the free healthcare
won't make
doesn't
you happy.
Make you happy.
Yeah, that won't make anybody happy at that now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would be hopeful that she can repair the relationship. They will accept it in time.
Yeah, I agree. I think with this scenario, what has happened is there's been a kind of an intellectual jump from the parents' idea that they want their child to be happy to, and this is how she's going to be happy. And that's never been explained to the daughter. And she's going, well, hang on a second, I don't, what are you laughing
I'm
at?
I'm just thinking, were your parents very disappointed when you walked away from Guinness's?
Yeah.
Were they very disappointed?
Because I'd already walked away from loads of things already. I mean, that was okay. Like,
it was just another walk away.
Listen, it'll be in my book, Barbie. Okay, you'll be right, able to work out my motivations at that stage. Actually, you know, but you know, maybe I am a good example for this person because, you know, I don't regret any of the times in my life when I have chosen the path less trodden or maybe turned away from what might have seemed to be the good job in the bank, which I rejected, or walking away from my good office job where I was pensionable and getting promoted, and I walked away from that as well. All the time, because I'm trying to find my own way through life. And that, what does that mean? That means you're kind of, you know, without sounding like, you know, a new age kind of self-help yourself kind of person. But I was trying to find out who I was. Mm. And that journey is actually the only journey in life. Everything else is incidental, because you can have the best job in the world in kind of in societal terms, and you can be desperately unhappy. You can also strive for the entire length of your life to be what you think your parents want you to be, and you will have a horrible time.
Yeah.
Because really, what your parents are trying to say is, you know, we don't want you to make any mistakes, the kind of mistakes that we made.
Yeah.
And they're allowing themselves the benefit of having made mistakes, but they want you to kind of almost skip through that part of life, which is life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of intellectual mess that this whole thing is in. Because really speaking, the only way to actually enjoy life is to be kind of in your life and knowing why you're making those decisions. Mm. So even the conversation that you have with your parents where you try to prove your point is good for you. Mm. You might see it as an argument, whatever, but I think if you approach it intelligently and open and, you know, and listen, for both people, it's a good thing.
I also think it's probably got harder to do what this woman wants to do because of the way our education system is.
You mean become a freelance person? I think it's become easier.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you know, our education system now tends to funnel everybody into college, which in my days when I left school, very few people went to college. Unless you wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher, you didn't go to college. You went out to work. But I think, like, our kids now get channeled into a direction which is all based on points and college places and all that kind of stuff, and then end up never having sat back and thought, actually, what do I really want to do rather than what I might be able to do?
And what am I contributing to when I'm actually taking up these jobs? What society am I making by just following the same thing as before? Blah, blah, blah. So again, look, it all boils down to an individual going, this is what I feel is the right thing for me, and that feels wrong. And sometimes, you know, there's a difference between a choice and a mistake. You know, a choice is something that you endeavor to do based on evaluating, you know. Mistakes tend to happen when you don't think about things. You just kind of mindlessly walk into a scenario. But they can happen, you know, the best planned ideas can also end up in, you know, mistakes. But you can learn from your mistakes. So again, it keeps coming back to the same idea.
Yeah.
It's your life, not theirs. If you try to play it on their rules, you're going to end up, you know, existentially unhappy.
And I mean, I totally get where the parents are coming from, especially at the moment. You know, you're kind of very concerned about your kids getting a job that pays them enough that they might eventually be able to buy somewhere to live.
So they can look out the window and see the planet on fire.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But I mean, I understand.
Well, I mean, it's
that
not going
to
make any. The planet's going to be on fire either way. Well, I mean, her writing a few. I don't understand why she doesn't write and content create
as well as
in her own
job.
Time, as well as have the job until she's in a position where I can make a living out of this.
If you're in a job that's killing your soul, it'll kill your creativity as well.
And also, you know, a lot of these jobs are full-time jobs. You know, it might sound like a jokey job, but unfortunately, that's the way, you know, back in my day, a freelance writer was just called a writer. Possibly, yeah. You know, had an actual...
freelance is a nice word for unemployed, really,
yeah,
wasn't
you know,
it?
And a content creator, you know, what does that mean? That means, you know, you made something. You know, and all these kind of jargony terms have more to do with the economic system out there rather than the actual integrity of the job. Because the job, the desire of a person to be creative or artistic has always been part of the human kind of experience, whether it's been economically valued or not. And I think, you know, there are times when somebody can find themselves in a creative role that's very well paid, or they can find themselves in a, you know, equally meritable creative role that's not very well paid. But both of those things have equal value in a broader sense.
Yes.
But, you know, and this is the thing, you know, basically what the parents are saying is we don't want you to have a job you enjoy. We want you to have a job that can buy you things.
Well, I mean, yeah, but they're also, from what she said, I think the parents are panicking. They're scared by the prospect of what she's doing. They're fearful for their little girl who won't be able to, you know, pay her rent and bills and all that kind of stuff. And might be setting herself up for bitter disappointment. Now, you know,
that's part of life.
Yeah, I know. But she,
I don't know.
But I'm just trying to give some understanding to the parents' reaction to it.
No, I fully understand where the parents are coming from. I absolutely, and I'm assuming at 26, if the current state of affairs is to go, but she's probably living at home. And they do want to see her being able to move out and be independent.
Therein lies the rub of the whole thing.
So, you know, I'm wondering, you know, that's part of their overreaction, which I think it is a bit of an overreaction.
Yeah, but it's not get a job, get out. Can't you know?
No,
it isn't
it's
that.
Not.
It isn't,
but you do. You know.
Somebody says the best thing that young one who's arguing with the parents could do is head off to the bog for a week, foot in black turf. After that, she could write down the beauty and splendour of the place, and then try selling the turf or selling her beautiful writing and see which one sells the best.
You're not allowed to sell turf anymore, are you?
I think you can on a, not on a commercial. You can maybe sell it to a neighbour, that stuff. You know?
I wouldn't say that would be any more lucrative, though, than
probably
content
not,
creation
no.
and freelance
probably
writing.
Probably not. No, yeah, here's some turf for a book about the turf. Elle wants to know, has that girl got prospects as a freelance writer? Has she started getting commissions and building a writing portfolio? Mm-hmm. She can start doing it while staying in her job. Then she can point her parents to this and say she's already started making money doing it, and it's not such a big leap. Someone else says, the girl's parents are wrong. I'm a freelance copywriter for 13 years. There is lots of money in writing if you know how to make it work. I assume on the sort
did
of writing.
Did that person write that?
Yeah, they did. Not very well, I did think. Yeah,
really was.
They didn't put a full stop at the end or anything.
Or
no.
An exclamation point.
Does she not realise that AI will be doing all the creative writing in 6 months' time anyway? Come to think of it, AI will be doing all the corporate jobs too. She should look at a job in Guinness as a taster. AI can't do that.
AI is starting to annoy me. I've noticed now on my Gmail account that every time I get in an email, it's asking me, do I want it summarised and do I want help in responding to it?
Yeah.
I opened Word this morning to write something and
it co-pilot.
First came up, your co-pilot is ready. I'm like, I don't want any of this crack.
No,
and it keeps coming
it.
Up, you know?
It's not.
It's very, yeah.
It's like the difference between things being useful and necessary, and it's like, you know, I was talking about this the other day about how innovation's kind of, you know, it's almost like just because you can make something, just because you can innovate something doesn't mean we should. And also the overall consequence is, you know, what are we going to do when we kind of make all of us useless? We're all, you know, we were going to basically...
But wouldn't it be great if AI did the stuff you don't want to do? Do you know what I mean?
Like,
here, I'll do your washing up for you. Or I'll put on the wash.
Yeah.
Or I had to go and pick up a whole load of dog turds out in the garden this morning. If AI could do that, I would have been very happy.
Exactly.
And then I'd happily have written my own emails, no problem.
God, it's good you did it today, because tomorrow
would have
now you'd
all
have like, dog turds splatting into your front window.
Out. That was part of my thinking,
okay,
Sean.
Good thinking.
Very good thinking.
Actually, come to think of it, this may be something I should do when I get home. Has she approached it in an intelligent, well-planned way, save some money for her well-paid job to support herself for the first year? That's a good question. That's a reasonable question to ask. Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
But
it looks like she's just jacked it in and gone, I can't stick it any longer. Hence the explosive argument.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. I think it is, though. It's a try it and see. Trust your instincts. You know, whatever the Americans say, like bet on yourself. You know, give it a go. And if it doesn't work out, you know, again, like if it is... Prove your parents wrong is really the best advice I can give. Prove your parents wrong. Prove them wrong.
But don't expect your parents to ever accept them
wrong.
No,
of course not.
They're never going to do that.
But they can come visit you in your lovely house that you got from your freelance writing.
No, yeah. The my mother, for because I turned down a job in the bank as well, much to my mother's intense irritation, Because it was hard to get a job in the
bank. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And you could get the cheap mortgages.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, I'm 19. I'm not thinking about a cheap mortgage.
Cheap mortgage, no.
But she, and also I got a job in the Bank of Ireland, where I thought I had all these cousins who had got jobs in the, and a sister who got a job in the Ulster Bank because they knew somebody. And
okay.
Kind of, you know.
But you did it on your own.
I did it without. So it was one in the eye for my mother's sister.
Brilliant.
But for, I swear to God, for decades afterwards, even when I had a job, and, you know, I was in RTE and then, you know, and I'd go down to her and she'd sigh. And I could go home and say, I've just won the Nobel Prize. And she'd sigh and she'd go, a no job. Because it wasn't what she recognised as a job. So she could never get her head around
it. I was the same. My father was, as he would say himself, a senior civil servant. And when I did my leaving cert, I was made go for the civil service exams, which was the same thing. And I got executive officer. And I refused it. And my father never forgave me. And until he died, he would still say, oh, had you gone into the service now, you'd be on the way to a pension, nice big pension. And you know what? Now that I'm 63, there's a lot of times I think, geez, maybe I should have done that.
Yeah.
I'd like the idea of a nice big pension.
Yeah. Anyway, this, like, she should just maybe let the parents calm down a bit.
Let them
go
calm
back to them when
bit.
She's won the Booker or something.
And she's
I
only
have
26.
Been to university three times. I've had office jobs. I had to go home and tell my parents I'd become a drag queen. So I think you'll be grand. You'll be fine. Yeah. And probably very wealthy as well.
We got a new washing machine and dryer recently. When you turn them on, it says optimizing using AI. But nothing actually happens. You still have to select what cycle you want, etc. And no doubt put the clothes in yourself.
I saw this thing on the back of a bus.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
About,
I
you know,
saw too.
Fertility clinic treatment. That's powered by, babies powered by AI. AI. And I was going,
I saw that too. I thought it was
creepy.
A joke.
Creepy.
Yeah.
I presume
I
the
saw
AI
that as well.
Is, I was kind of going, wow.
And I was going, what do you mean babies powered
it's
by AI?
Very that film with Jude Law.
Wouldn't be having any of that now.
My new boyfriend and I are still getting to know each other and it's been a real slow burner situation. However, one thing that has started to come up in our long conversations is the number. He wants to know how many people I've slept with. I'm shy to talk about this because I've only had sex with three people and I can only imagine how many he has done it with. I think he wants to know because he reckons I've slept with lots of guys. Obviously, the opposite is true. The trouble is this. We still haven't done it yet, as I like to wait. I am worried if he finds out how inexperienced I am, that he will be disappointed. Is there a way to present my sexual history so that it doesn't appear so lame? Also, do you think it is strange that he is asking about this? Does it really matter? It's like sex is a competitive sport,
really. People get so in their heads about it. Well... not if you did it right, Barbara.
Well, your man's going to hold up a scorecard at the end of it.
It's a team sport, not an individual sport.
I'm being a 10. Yeah, Curry, go on.
Look, you know, these things kind of make me laugh because people get so much in their heads about it because they're confusing what it is that they're trying to achieve. And it is that competitive thing, is that, you know, or it's fear-based politics, where they're kind of thinking that this person's going to think X, Y, and Z about me if I give away this piece of information. So therefore, I'm going to either find a way to change it, conceal it, or lie, or whenever, or not reveal it, or whatever. And all of those things just reveal one thing, is that the people are at the stage of their relationship where they're only kind of building the intimacy. And so therefore, there's a lot of kind of uncertainty about it. And if you focus on that part, that what you're doing is you're building a bridge of kind of trust and intimacy rather than kind of building up a sort of a, like a AI powered backstory. Where you're kind of going, like, you're not giving this person your CV. You're not selling them anything.
Yeah.
You know, because if, you know, at any time in your relationship with a person, if they don't like what you're telling them, they'll decide that for themselves without your help.
Yeah.
So I think with this instance, I think there is two things to consider. One is that whole idea of the fact that this is somebody who you're, you know, who you should be developing a relationship of trust with. Mm. And it shouldn't be, you know, if you don't feel comfortable and you don't feel trusting and sharing stuff with that person at this particular moment, then don't. And you don't know, nobody should be able to force you or even make you feel like it's a strange thing
to not share.
Because it is a strange thing to want to share, in my view. I kind of think it's I don't think any good comes from putting a number on the way in which you've been intimate with other people. I think at the end of the day, intimacy with however amount of people will be unique and different in each individual case. And that means that the relationship you have with whoever your current partners are will be whatever that is in that particular time. And you will be the person in that relationship the way you are in that time, if that's, you know, whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So from that point of view, I'm saying to this person to not be in her feelings about this, to not feel in any way inexperienced or strange about the number of, because it may be that with this one person that they will be the most passionate they've ever been with anybody and kind of engage in the whole scenario in a way that they've never done before, or may not. Because it might be that the other person isn't able to, or whatever, because it takes two to make the tango kind of, you know, work in that way. I also do think that when you tell people a number, that you can automatically create an idea about somebody in a way that's just
may not
stupid.
Be true. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think it definitely doesn't matter. But I understand where she's coming from, because I remember when myself and himself got serious, I thought in the interest of full disclosure one night, probably after a bottle of wine, that I should really kind of come clean. Mm-hmm. Not that my history was that interesting or outrageous or anything, but I thought I should go through it. And until he begged me to stop. I don't want to know.
What did you give him details?
Oh. I don't know. I overdo everything. So probably I was kind of, you know, and I remember him saying, please stop. I don't care and I don't want to know. And it's not important. And he was right. Rare thing, but he was right. It makes no difference. So I agree. I wouldn't necessarily give.
How many did you get through?
Oh, millions. No, I didn't. Yeah. It wasn't that exciting. But for some reason, I thought
46
anyway.
A-balls.
Yeah. There we go. So I agree with you in that, like, it isn't important, and I wouldn't necessarily give him the number, and I wouldn't ask him for his number because it doesn't matter a hoot. And I mean, you can have had sex a million times with a million different people. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're any good at it. You can have been doing it wrong, like times.
Yeah.
I think, however, having read the letter, I'm wondering if the real issue here is the fact that she says that she is inexperienced and they haven't had sex yet. So is she kind of worried, you know, from a performative point of view, that he'll realise that she doesn't know what she's doing? And all I can say to that is that, as far as I'm concerned, and it's a very hazy memory now, but the first time you do with anybody new is never good, is generally not brilliant, because you both have to take a time to kind of get to know each other, get to know each other's bodies and what you like and what you don't like. So probably the first time is not going to be fantastic.
Is this where you suggest whiskey again, Barbara?
Is this what?
Where you suggest a bottle of whiskey again? Is that where you're going? A bottle of whiskey?
No. I'm telling this poor woman to relax and enjoy herself.
No, yeah, I agree.
And, you know, I would cut any conversation about previous partners short. It's none of his business, and his previous
what
history
she should
is none of
say
her business
to
either.
Rattle the whole thing is to say, in my experience, it's never good to share that number.
Yes.
And that way she's kind of not telling a lie, but she's saying enough to make him back the hell off.
Yeah, no, that's very good. I like that.
Somebody texts it in to say, honest to God, people, sometimes he just overanalyze everything, which is the point of this slot.
That's what we're here for.
No, but this is tell your one to tell her boyfriend she slept with three people. He'll be delighted. So is that what it
is?
Is
that from a man or a woman?
I'm guessing it's a man.
A man.
Because is there some sort of ceiling number a man wants the woman to be below?
He probably wants her to be a virgin.
Yeah, if it's below, getting towards double figures,
we're all in trouble. You want to be you know,
yeah,
three is a good number.
Jesus, the Holy Father, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, she should say it is not how many, but how good we are.
It's not about that either.
Somebody else says women always have a bigger number. Don't worry about it; it means nothing anyway. If he's pushing for it, leave him. Okay,
God, that's a bit radical. Yeah,
absolutely no reason why anyone should feel obliged to reveal their number of sexual partners to a new partner. It's a huge red flag. If someone insists on knowing that information, tell him to mind his own business. If the boyfriend had any decency, he would have backed off when it became clear she didn't want to talk about it. If he's the right guy, he will find out when she's ready to tell him. But if he keeps pushing for an answer, call him a taxi.
Because at the end of the day, look, the only way in which sharing that piece of information is useful is as it's in a kind of a, I'm glad I told you about my background story because it makes me feel better. But if you're telling somebody else, you know.
That's what I thought when I did. It did work.
It doesn't work. So therefore, in that scenario, it won't work. But kind of listing it off like, you know, somebody's buying a horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Or a second-hand car. How many owners has it had?
Yeah, one careful owner.
But she's assuming that he's more than three.
Yeah,
he may not have had any. That he has a right to ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he doesn't.
It seemed to be kind of implicit in the number of people she slept with said something about her, and she and it's like she's a plumber and she needs a certain amount of experience to end this task. And if it's only three people, whereas, you know,
what kind of a plumber
your man has 33 chlamydia boy. Oh, he knows exactly what he's doing.
How many certificates have you got?
In my experience, men to inflate the amount of women they have slept with, while women tend to deflate the number.
Unless you're an idiot.
Elaine wants to know, can we set up a club for everyone who turned down a job in the bank and upset their parents?
Yes, absolutely.
We could, Elaine.
It's a big club.
Barbara and Jack, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.